put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build a world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
All right, now is your regularly scheduled 60 seconds of banter. If you're not interested in podcast banter, fast forward 60 seconds from now to get right into the content of the episode. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Oh, this is really good banter.
I don't think I'm awake enough to banter. Maybe that's my banter.
We're recording in the morning with a Prager's lady.
Yeah, I only had half a cup of coffee.
You had a little cup of coffee this morning?
Yeah. I allow myself, like, you know, the fine things
I've
in
never
life, like
been,
coffee.
I've never been pregnant, so I don't know how to do
that. People are like, either you can or you can't. And I just choose to do what I feel either is best for me.
Either it's good or it's bad. So
yeah,
that's
everything. Mm. Either pregnancy is horrible or it's the best thing to happen.
That concludes 60 seconds of banter.
Oh my God.
Wonderful. Compelling. So let's get into the meat of the show now.
Let's get into the meat of the show. So, listeners, if you listen to our banter, then you know, maybe, perhaps you recognize who our guest is. And we are, oh my God, this is a new season. It's like the first time we're actually able to record in person in long it's been.
Thank you for your patience for us putting out these episodes. It's been quite the trial for these two ladies.
It has been.
It's not just with the podcast, but just with our lives.
Just like lives, yeah.
And with everyone's lives. In the entire world.
Yeah.
So,
We appreciate
the drum roll. It's Mallory Littell.
Yay, Mallory.
Yay.
Introduce yourself, because we know you well. I'm sure some people do and most don't.
Yeah, for sure. So, my name is Mallory, and I live here in Houston, Texas, and I'm a friend of Janan and Maria. I'm a teacher at Big Yoga with Janan, and I've been doing that for, oh goodness, maybe almost 8 years. And outside of that, I work in property management and I have a coaching business. And as if you did listen to the banter, I'm currently pregnant and currently for the next like 5 months or so. So
if you say anything that later you want to redact in this podcast, you can just be like, oh, pregnancy brain. Sorry.
Oh, right. That
I shouldn't have had that.
That is real. And I'll be honest, I do use that maybe more than it is accurate.
As soon as I said it, I was like, wait, am I being real sexist right now? But you know what?
Biology. No way, man. I'm all about it. I just like, I mean, Mark, my husband, I'm just like, oh, you don't understand pregnancy brain, or you don't understand my back hurts, or I can't get up, and I'm milking it, you know?
We're about to talk about yoga stuff, and what I think is cool is that at least we're all being real honest. We're not trying to be these saints. Mm-mm. Better than thou. Like, I don't ever have pregnancy brain or use excuses. We're real people. And we're about to talk about karma yoga and choice-based action. Yay.
Yay.
It's going to make a difference in your life, listener. And Maria and Mallory and me. I think so, right?
I think so.
This conversation? Yeah.
Yeah. So, listeners, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. If it's not, then you know how this goes. We ask our guests, they usually bring a topic within the realm of yoga and something that they want to talk about, something that they're passionate about. And I'm curious, Mallory, why or how did this topic come up? How did you know that this was the thing we needed to talk about on this Monday morning?
Well, part of the work that I lead outside of yoga is through Light Year Leadership, which is really all about choice and supporting people and liberating themselves through choice, and which in my experience is also yoga. That's what my yoga practice has been for me, is a place to really feel liberated and free through the asana practice and through meditation and through inquiry. And I feel like being out of choice really is, I don't know if I can use this word, but is a pandemic in our in our world and society.
Being out of choice.
Being out of choice, yeah.
It's like a disease we're all experiencing. Would you say like that?
I would say that. Not to sound too dramatic or like, no, we must cure people in any way.
You have permission to sound dramatic on this on this podcast.
And I'm in no way, I would say, like, an expert or living, like, this perfect life. As Janon said, I'm in no way, like, a saint of choice. I'm always in the practice of choice and definitely in the practice of yoga. And it is a practice and it is a discipline. And it's something I'm really passionate about, which is why I wanted to bring that topic today.
Yes.
Yay.
First things first, are you okay with if I address the elephant in the room?
Please address the elephant in the room.
This elephant in the room is, we are talking about yoga post-2020 after the awakening that we've all had in quarantine with a lady who is white. And so there's the elephant in the room is how do we, and me and Maria are not Indian either. We're not. Like, we're not white, but we're definitely not Indian. How are we discussing this and still honoring the roots and not culturally appropriating? Do you guys have anything to say about it? I mean, I have a lot to say and I would rather listen. So
I do have a lot of things to say about this, and I think it's like, I get that there's both very polarized sides to this, and I get why. And I think at the root of everything, it's like, humans, we are just so into like finding justice and being good that eventually, because we need, you know, we feel like we need to fight. I know sometimes I do. Like, I know, if I get upset at you, Janon, I like sometimes
what?
Just like, need
you
to
get
fight.
Upset at me?
Y'all fight?
I know. Wow. Sometimes we do. Yeah.
I thought y'all were perfect.
We are.
We have perfect fights.
We have perfect perfect fights.
Got it.
We're perfect at fighting. No, I just mean, like, I know that sometimes I really feel very passionate about something. And because I'm in that reaction, in that heat of passion or anger or whatever it's looking like in the moment, I sometimes cannot articulate. And it's so frustrating that then eventually it leads to like more aggressiveness, or like, I need to find the facts and the truth that support what I'm trying to say. And in that work, I just get more polarized and pulled more towards an extreme. And what that leads to, it's like, I'm accusing you, you're wrong, I'm right, you're not worth listening to. And somehow that gives me, like, because I'm right and I have all the facts, sometimes, like, gives me the license to be an asshole. And so this, like, I feel like that happens with both sides. And I just, it's so, like, it just takes so much, like, just, like, mindfulness to be like, I have this opinion, you have that opinion, there's no right, no wrong. How do we come up with a solution that works for everybody?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm over here sitting here thinking, oh God, I have to say the right thing. You know, like, I have to respond in the right way. And there's also the space of, well, there's really no right way to respond in a way. And I feel incredibly humble and honored to be a student of yoga and to be a teacher of yoga and to be able to study it.
Yep.
And I continue to be in the space of wonder around the teachings of yoga and the practices of yoga. And I honestly really try, and not to say that I'm ignoring the conversation in any way, but stay really rooted in my own commitment and be able to listen. So that's really where I'm at in that conversation, is just simply listening. And like what Maria was saying is, you know, when there is this right fighting of like, I'm right, you're wrong, or what you're doing is wrong and what I'm doing is right, there's really no common ground to be had. And it's really an unwinnable game. It's an unwinnable conversation. And that's something that I'm not interested in playing into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's safe to say. It does feel like an unsafe ground sometimes. Sometimes. So I'm very hyper aware of that.
The reason this got brought up in my head before we started recording was because this is really, it has so much to do with karma yoga. As someone who works at a yoga studio where we had some people say to us, like, we're part of the problem, we're whitewashing yoga, the colonization of yoga, all those words are now a thing that we're using way more than we did before. I started looking, okay, well, what is it that we're teaching? Because karma yoga doesn't seem to be in line with what you called right fighting.
Correct.
So the listeners who have no idea what karma yoga is, we should probably like define it. Yes, and then also, and then go into defining like choice-based, would you call it choice-based action?
Yeah.
Choice-based action. So karma yoga, there's multiple paths to enlightenment. And so there's multiple yogas. Basically, people, one thing that did get whitewashed in terms of what people think yoga is in the United States is it's just a bunch of poses in a room. That's all you do. But that's one style of yoga that's from Raja yoga, and specifically Hatha yoga. So it's like the poses. But there's Bhakti yoga, which is like devotional yoga, yoga through being emotionally devoted toward like a godhead, like a spiritual source. And then there's karma yoga. So karma yoga comes from mainly this book called the Bhagavad Gita. A lot of you guys have heard of it. If you're listening to yoga podcasts and you already know yoga stuff, Bhagavad Gita is one of the yogic texts. And it's where Krishna, the godhead in this book, the spiritual source in this book, lays out what karma yoga is to Arjuna, who is to mostly represent like humanity and like what we all do on this earth. And karma yoga is that you do your actions or your non-actions without attachment to the result of it. So it's action for the pure sake of action. And to take it a step further, what it's really saying is when you do an action that is 100% devoted to God and not to your own results, that is when you do not accumulate more karma. And then over time, you're more and more free from being reborn onto this plane and more able to then get up to what is enlightenment, and past being rebirthed. So it's a pretty intense study. It's not like for the faint-hearted. It's not just like, hashtag good karma. It's not like that at all.
No.
And so we picked that topic because that is a lot of what we practice as yoga practitioners at our studio, where we do teach way more than the poses. And I know we also have a lot of light year leadership work in our studio, and the two have always reminded me of each other. And that's why I was like so interested in talking about this with you, Mallory. So tell us all about choice-based action now that
totally. So that was just a lovely, lovely explanation of karma yoga. And, you know, choice-based action is being able to take action from a space of choice. It's that simple. And when we're taking action out of choice, we're in a reaction. So when we're taking action attached to fear, worry, doubt, judgment, guilt, all of those spaces, well, that we all experience, they're all human experiences. And when we're in action attached to those places, those spaces, those emotions, that's just not us.
Mm.
It's not us. We're not in action with line. We're not in action in line with what we're fully committed to. So choice-based action is being in action or non-action from a space of choice, from a space of response, responsibility, love, forgiveness, wonder, happiness, discernment. Mm. Discernment is huge. Which would be like the antidote to judgment.
Yeah.
And that's what choice-based action is.
One could say all those nice words you said at the end were like godly words. You know, like they were of like a sort of divinity way of being versus a, I don't know, what's the opposite of divinity? Animal?
Well, yeah. I mean, I personally do believe that God created us to be happy. Mm. You know, created me to be happy. And created in me to be in wonder. And so that's right. You know, those words or those feelings, those emotions are of God in my
belief. Yeah. And I would also like to add that it's not just religiously. I think regardless of what religion or when we say God, whatever association you have to that, it's also just like world philosophies in general. I mean, the Stoics also just live by those principles, right?
Correct.
Whether you like the Stoics, you feel polarized by them or not, that was a thing that happened. It's a thing that the Greek philosophers also strive to, is just like, how am I going to live a better life in accordance to some sort of higher power, rather than reacting to what Junon was pointing to, my animalistic instincts?
Correct. Yeah. And I don't prescribe to any certain religion. Mm-hmm. My connection is simply with God, and I don't want to say, well, and that's it. Like, and that's really all that's required for me. And there's so many similarities, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, like all these different sects of religion. They all have a common theme. And it's when Garavani, he's a Bhakti teacher and musician. And I went to see him at the ISKCON temple right down the street from here. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we're all drinking from the same well. Mm-hmm. Like, we really are. Yeah. And that for me was really freedom and being able to practice yoga fully, not attached from like, oh, like I'm practicing a religion, or I'm a Hindu now, or I'm a Bhakti yogi. It's like, no, we're just... like, we're all drinking from the same well, mm-hmm. But from different, you know, systems.
So for someone who, okay, I'm like even pulling from my past self, where it seemed like reaction was justified, like, well, this happened, so I need to respond to this. And I know I'm using response in a different way than how probably you would use it. But I need to respond to this, or something worse is going to happen. Like, you know, for example, if we come across a child being abused, we must act.
So the point of, you know, everything that I'm saying is not to never experience fear or worry or doubt or any sort of reaction. That's human. And, you know, I really believe the bigger the life that you're living, the more reaction you're going to come across, the more of that sensation of doubt and worry and fear is going to come up. And, you know, when you're speaking of something like, okay, child abuse, or, you know, something that really is inherently wrong.
Yes.
Yes, we want to take action on that, especially if it's something that you really deeply believe in and that you're committed to. And to get into that choice-based action, the way to get there is to really clarify what it is that you're committed to and come from that space. So for me, when I have that really intense sensation of like, okay, something's off, something is wrong, that gut feeling. I mean, you guys have all experienced that, right? Mm. You're like, okay, something is wrong, and it makes you angry or mad or like pissed off or super, like, I mean, I get judgy. Yes. I'm human, you know, and that for me is like an alarm system in my body. And it's like, okay, hey, something's off, and that's not to be ignored. Mm-hmm. The problem is that most of the time we override those feelings and those sensations. And then we just, and maybe that's the choiceless choice that maybe you're talking about, but I'm not sure. And it's like, and then we're just like, you know, flailing around throughout our life, overriding all these emotions and feelings, really being an asshole. Mm-hmm. And this practice is around, okay, noticing, okay, that's a really intense sensation.
Yeah.
There's something there. Mm-hmm. Let me investigate that. And then there's a new choice to make. There is a choice to make. There's a commitment to get present to get rooted in, and then take action from that space. Because it wouldn't, you know, I could go and say, okay, well, I'm going to go change this because it's wrong. Okay. And what's going to get me further is I'm going to go make a difference because this is what I'm really committed to in this area.
Coming from what you want, right?
So yeah, coming from what you want rather than what you don't want. Because when you come from what you don't want, what do you get more of?
What you don't want.
What you don't want. That's right.
I love the musicalness of this. I do like what you said, Mallory. Usually what I refer to, like those strong emotions, I usually call them notifications. I think just because they're more relevant to now, and we can all relate to having an alert on our phone or like something, right? Some sort of notification that somehow always seems to, at least for me, like just pull me from, like if I'm having a conversation, I'm like, oh, my alarm just got an alert from the alarm. What is it?
Right.
And I agree with that. I don't think that humans need to stuff down emotions. I don't think emotions are inherently bad or good, or there's no such thing as a good emotion or a bad emotion. Emotions are just chemical stimulation or, you know, just they're chemical reactions based on stimulation from outside or inside, whether it's thoughts or, you know, physical sensations or watching something happen. Mm-hmm. And I think getting really good at identifying what those are, what those look like, and being able to sit down with those and say, oh, this is why I'm mad, or oh, this is why I'm reacting, or feeling what I'm feeling, or sensing what I'm sensing, and then be able to get to that, oh, this is what I'm committed to.
Right.
Let's work from there. Yes. It's so huge.
Which is way more useful.
Super more useful.
Way more useful.
You know, I just realized right now, thank you for helping me realize something, is y'all are talking about these notifications and signals from your body and whatnot. I just realized that for me in particular, like if I'm confronted with something I don't like, I don't want, you know, I'm having a reaction, my first thing to do is actually shut down and go be like, I'm tired, I need a nap. Or start like over intellectualizing it to make it like okay in my brain, and then be like, I'm gonna put my attention just somewhere else, and honestly use a lot of my yoga tools the quote unquote wrong way to ignore like what's really bothering me. And I'll tell myself like, no, I'm just maintaining my peace, like I'm all good. And you know what? That is exactly what happens in the Gita with Arjuna. He's like, I don't want to do this. This is my family.
He withdraws.
So, okay.
Maybe he's a four in Enneagram. I'm not sure.
So I am half seven and half four in the
Enneagram.
I am
a four. So when you were talking, I don't know anything else about Enneagram except for my own. So please don't ask any
Well, any other questions. I never explained what happens in the Gita, but just basically.
Do a 30-second summary of the Gita.
This is so, like, not really honoring what the Gita is and how rich it is. So I'm going to do a quick just synopsis. Is okay, Arjuna is this cool guy who is the leader of his clan, his family, of like goodness basically. And in the land right now, his uncles and his cousins are all rule, but they're jerks and they're mean and they're doing bad stuff and they're hurting people. And he basically has to go to war with them if he wants to liberate the people from their suffering. But he sits there and he's like, oh, but, oh, they're my family. I shouldn't fight my family. It's wrong to fight family. I really don't want to fight. Violence is bad. Oh, wait, ahimsa? I shouldn't, what? And Krishna shows up and Krishna is like, hey, you're basically ignoring your duty to, you know, what you know is right. By convincing yourself that you should just be a non-action. That kind of non-action is just giving you more and more karma, like built up karma, and that's bad. Don't do that. You need to fight. That is what I feel as a human in the 21st century is all convince myself of actually like why not to go make the difference because it's less comfortable to do that. Within that, though, is when there is a discernment that needs to occur of like, am I doing this really out of what I am committed to? Mm-hmm. Which for karma yoga would be like, you know, God or source, like that. Or am I doing this still out of more of what I don't want? So there's like that two-step process of first get into action, because non-action is not like saving you. It's not making you look good. And then ensure that that action is coming from choice and wholeness. I just learned that.
That's cool. So snaps. Good. Snaps. Yeah, snaps for snaps, sure. Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that to the table. Yeah, for me, when I first started studying all of this, I incorrectly thought like, okay, I got to go be perfect and I can't ever experience any of those like reactive type emotions. I can't judge. I can't. You know, unforgive. I can't worry. I'm not allowed, you know, which actually ended up having me avoid things that would cause that trying to keep the peace, which is not human. Like it really is human to experience those things. Yeah. And part of our responsibility is to recognize it and take responsibility and make a new choice.
Yes.
And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I mean, not to say that all non-action is bad, of course.
Well, like, sometimes it is. Sometimes there is like, okay, well, I actually the action to take is to not take any action at all. Yeah. Non-action can be an action.
Yeah.
Different from
Despondence.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very different. You know, sometimes it's like, I just need to let something go. Mm-hmm. Then I just need to, like, I mean, divorcing Mark for leaving dishes in the sink probably is a little extreme, right? It's probably just something I need to let go of.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, so, yes.
I mean, that's a pretty watered down example.
It is. I love it, though. It's real. It's efficient, yeah. What I was going to say is, I remember, you know, you mentioned when you first started, like, learning this and teaching, and you felt that as a leader, you had to be perfect. And it's something that I remember having conversations about with Janan, because Janan used to tell me, it's like, oh, you know, sometimes I just feel like a hot mess. Like, why should I stand in front of people and tell them, oh, yoga this, yoga that, you know, like, why? Who am I? Like, who am I? I'm not perfect. I don't always live these practices. And one of the things that I used to always tell her is that that messiness makes you relatable. And it makes you the perfect person to do it because you can speak from experience.
I'm real messy.
Totally.
And I think, because it's, I always just look at, or if I, even if I do it, right? There's things that I've gotten really good at in my life that I sometimes forget what it was like to not be good at it. And when I'm teaching someone who's not good at it, it's not efficient because they're just like, yeah, well, it comes naturally to you. Like, you don't get it. You don't know my struggle. You don't know how to address these things. Like, you're making me feel like you're perfect and I'm not. And sure, there's a lot to be said about their responsibility to that relationship and that judgment. And to be able to approach things, especially when teaching philosophy and, like, life practices, just be like, look, I'm also human. I also fuck up. Like, it's okay. We're all in this together. It's so much efficient and it's relatable.
Amen to that. Yeah. I'll say it. If you have a teacher or anyone on a pedestal, you may want to check that. Mm-hmm. Or yourself on a pedestal. You may want to check that. Because exactly what you're saying, Maria, is we all have our own experiences. We all have our own faults. We're all human.
Yes.
We're all human, and if anyone is out there acting like they aren't, well, just know that.
Yeah.
There's another just thing. Recognize that. Yeah. Okay.
There's another thing I'll add to and point to, like, the very first thing I said, which is that, yeah, even though we might be right, it does not give us permission to be assholes. Like, being right, having the truth, and having this, like, really good intention to be whatever good means or whatever good looks like, there still needs to be kindness when addressing especially the opposition.
Yes. And you can have that correct boundary between, like, what you really truly believe and know is right in the world and what may be wrong over there, and have that correct boundary and still have compassion and love and kindness and space for whatever that thing is over there.
We're at the end of the episode. Here it is, 30 minutes. Yeah. So we scratched the surface of Bhagavad Gita, of karma yoga. Definitely, like, also choice-based action, because it's a lifetime of study. And we don't, by the way, we don't do these podcasts because we're like, oh, we're three leaders who just know it, and we're going to deliver this message to you. So be thankful, like, knaves. No, it is, we get to discover things as we talk. So
yeah, I mean, none of this was planned for me. I just really spoke to what was present in the moment.
And I think it's important to have conversations like this, because maybe you, listener, heard something from one of us and you're just like, ooh, this just, like, hit something, whether it was a quote-unquote negative reaction or a quote-unquote good reaction. If this is inspiring you to learn or read more about something we mention or see what it looks like in your life, then I think we did our job.
Yeah, and feel free to put all your own input on our Instagram when we start posting about this episode, because we'd like to hear what everyone else could offer in terms of learning about karmic yoga and learning about choice-based action. Yay.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you, Gabrielle, for sitting here next to us the whole time, kind of walking around, making tiny noises in the background. She tried to get into the closet once. So there's a cat. Gabrielle's a cat. It's not a human that just silently creeped around us. Anyway, thank you so much, Mallory. You're the best. We'll have you back on the show at some point. Because you have even though you said not to put anyone on a pedestal, you're pretty dope. So,
well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I accept that with great teacher. All the humility mm-hmm. that I have.
All right. That's it. Love y'all.
Thank you, listeners.
Bye. Have
Bye.
A great day.
Bye.
Bye. BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.